Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 123, part one, old and new side by side. Today is Friday, November 27th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue. In North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A love better than wine. Our instincts need purifying. Old things and new things. And old and new side by side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
Tonight's message is entitled, The Old and the New, Side by Side. Old and new, side by side. Read something out of Luke here. 9 and 18 through 28. And it came about that while he was praying alone. Do you ever find yourself praying alone? The disciples were with him, but he was still praying alone. And he questioned them, saying, Who do the multitudes say that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, The Christ of God. But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised up on the third day. And he was saying to them all, If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily, whatever that cross may be. And follow me. pick up that cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. And we're getting close to that right now. The revealing of Jesus Christ and the Father and all the holy angels. Can you imagine that glory? But I say to you truthfully, there are some of those standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And some 8 days after these things, it came about that he took along Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. Like never before, we should be into prayer and we should be into fasting. That is going to be the key to break down the strongholds of the devil. Prayer and fasting. Say that. Prayer and fasting. Well, here we have Peter. He had a great revelation. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. At last, this great revelation dawned on him. I remember when that revelation dawned on me that Jesus Christ was God. I remember that time when I came to the full realization of the power of the Lord and realizing what power there was in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a great moment it was. You'd think, with this revelation, they could really move in the Spirit, wouldn't you? And I thought myself, after I had this revelation, okay, now I'm going to really move in the Spirit. But on the contrary, nothing went right in the whole chapter after this revelation, or in my own life. You know why? And you know what was wrong? My conscious mind and their conscious mind accepted, but the subconscious mind just couldn't do it. The disciples and myself, in my conversion, my first conversion, I'm talking about my babe-like atmosphere, my instincts were not converted. In other words, we can be saved and we can know the word. And still go downhill in our own understanding. So then for a time, it seemed like I was going downhill. I was converted, but I still had the same instincts. How many are hearing this? A lot of times people stay that way for a good long time. I know I did. How many are hearing this? And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different. Now I know when I get down on my hands and knees and I have the anointing of prayer on me, when I get up and I look in the mirror, I don't look the same. Something happens. I go to God's beauty parlor or whatever. And his clothing became white and gleaming, and behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who appearing in glory. Now, what is glory? Appearing in the glory of the Lord. Now, listen. Who appearing in glory and appearing in Jesus, all glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, he was anointed of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God. All this divine nature was all around and it was lit up through prayer. We're speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep. But when they were fully awake, they saw his glory. And when we get fully awake, we see the glory of the Lord. I tell you, a lot of times we're sleeping and we miss the glory of the Lord. And when you want to have the glory of the Lord, you get into prayer and you get into fasting and you start to pray and you enter that Mount of Transfiguration. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and two men standing with him. There's only one glory. And God isn't going to share it with anybody. And it came about as these were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. Sometimes when we get into prayer and we get into the feeling of the glory of the Lord all the way around us, sometimes we like to get a revelation on our own. We'll say, "Now, God, this is just great. Let's go on with this thing. And I really think you're going to lead me into something great. Let's just build three tabernacles right here." While he was saying this, the cloud formed and began to overshadow them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. His light shineth out of the darkness. And the voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. A couple of times in my ministry, I have seen things that I haven't shared with anyone. Mostly because they're personal things between me and the Lord. And then I guess I sort of think maybe people would think I was crazy if I shared it with them. And it came about on the next day that when they had come down from the mountain, a great multitude met him. And behold, a man from the multitude shouted out, saying, "Teacher, I beg you, look at my son, for he is my only boy. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into convulsions with foaming at the mouth, and as it mauls him, it scarcely leaves him. And I begged your disciples to cast him out, and they could not." And Jesus said, "O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." Are you hearing this? Hear it now. "And while he was still approaching, the demon dashed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and raised the boy and gave him back to his father." And listen. "And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, 'Let these words sink into your ears. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men.' But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they might not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this statement." I remember the Lord coming into my room one time, and I was afraid to say, "Jesus, is that you?" I thought, if he answers me, I'm going to fall over cold, stone cold dead. But there was that aglow and that feeling of power and that glory of God. I read this, and I thought, glory to God, what a beautiful revelation here. I had the same one myself. See, the disciples had a difficulty in their unconverted instincts, especially self. And I think that's where the whole of the Christian church is right now today. Now Jesus undertakes to show them their selves. Many times you're going to find that you're suffering. and your pain is going to lead someone else to Jesus Christ. It'll also reveal where they are really at. Now, don't be dismayed a lot of times if someone's giving you a hard time. Don't be dismayed if things that looks like things are all going wrong. You want to know why? That's going to reveal that person to themselves. Say amen, somebody. But he first said he would be nailed to the cross, and then he could expect the same thing, and we could expect the same thing spiritually speaking. Now, I think here in the end times, it's important that we minister these things. I think the central thing in being the Son of God, we must be losing ourselves. We must have a flesh death daily. Did you hear what I just said there? Have a flesh death daily. But anyway, in losing themselves, they would find themselves spiritually. When you start to lose yourself in the flesh, when the flesh starts to fall away and the habits start to fall away, all those things start to fall away through prayer and fasting. Something happens within the spirit, and you're built up in your spirit, and the spirit overcomes the flesh. Are you having a problem right now in your walk? Get into prayer and get into fasting. Let me tell you right now, that'll do something in your life. They couldn't understand losing their self in their body. Did you ever feel like you wanted to get lost? Oh, I felt that way so many times. And so he took them up, it says, to the mountain. And they met Moses and Elijah, and they talked about his death. He talked about his death of himself, and he faced the cross, and it says his face glowed. When we face our flesh death, when we come to the realization that we must die, there's going to come a glow on us. And when Jesus talked of his death, when he talked of entering into his glory, there was a glow. Now, I'm not talking about getting melancholy here. I'm talking about facing the main issue here tonight. If you want to die to yourself, there's going to come a spiritual thing happening with you. It comes through prayer and fasting. And you know something? Your whole countenance will change. And you know what will happen? The glory of God will be upon you and in you, and the kingdom of God will be within you and amongst you and around you. But there's got to be that flesh death. Now, that's a lot of times we don't want to talk about dying in the flesh. Are you hearing this tonight? And it says they left the mount still confused, divided, I believe, in their inner allegiance. They were defeated in their outer attempts. When we're defeated on the inside, our attempts are defeated on the outside. That's like when you get up to preach, or you get up to sing, or you get up to do anything. If you're defeated on the inside, you're going to be defeated on the outside. Say amen, somebody. That's like running the race. If you're defeated, or you say, on their marks, I'm not going to be able to do it. You're going to have shaky legs. You're going to have muscle spasms. You're going to have everything go wrong because you've defeated yourself on the inner person. Don't you ever let anyone defeat you on the inner person. You've got to be careful what you listen to. Say amen, somebody. You've got to let God talk to your spirit, because I tell you, folks can just naturally kill you, kill your spirit with their words. So what you have, and you can kill your own spirit with your own words, or you can let the devil kill you in your spirit on the inner person. And so there isn't that allegiance there anymore. There isn't that dedication. There isn't that strength. There isn't that power anymore. But when you die to that, when you listen to that small, still voice on the inner person, and that small, still voice saying, trust me, Paul. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me, Dave. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And you hear that small voice on the inside, and you say, I'm going to trust in Jesus. Do you know what will happen? The glory of God will come on you. Your whole countenance will change and something will take over. And it says they all marveled at the majesty of God when the demon came out with a word. Let these words sink into your ears. Was a few days, no, I guess a week ago, the Lord was telling me, he says, Paul, watch yourself. He didn't tell me what to watch myself for. He just said, watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Over and over and over again, he said it. And it was sinking into my ears. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Watch yourself. Deliverance has into the hands of men. You think my majesty is performing miracles of healing. But my majesty lies in the miracle of self-losing. My miracle is that I am God. And as God, I'm going to die upon the cross. I'm going to lose my life to gain my life. That will be the final miracle. And you're looking towards these temporal things. How many are hearing this? Woo! If we ever need a healing, we need a healing right there. Whew. He's saying, this is the number one reason I have come, to do in myself and you. Whew. His death causes a death within us. When we receive Christ, we die. He lives. You die. How many are going through sort of a death right now? I know I am. Did you know what's happening in the body of Christ right now? There is a death going on in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying for you to look at that in no way, shape, or form in a negative sense. I'm saying this is a good thing. This is the time to get into a prayer, and this is the time to get into a fasting. God is dealing with people in all kinds of ways to bust down self. You must lose yourself, to gain your life. And so people are walking around like half dead, like zombos. Know what I mean? And they're wondering, what's going on? There is a death going on. Hallelujah. Recognize it as a flesh death. I was saying, gee, I don't have the personality I had. I don't feel that vim and vigor and vitality, and I don't feel on top of it. I just feel, oh, I feel beside myself. Well, get away from yourself. Die. Say amen, somebody. Now, if you work down here with me, you're certainly going to die to yourself. Isn't that right, Ken? Ken came here from Florida. I think we've had him down here. One night we had him here till 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, now you say, that ain't fair. But I'll tell you one thing, there's a dying, dying, dying going on in the body of Christ all over. And while you're dying, keep right on going and keep right on in the race. Glory to God, there's a new day dawning. Hallelujah. And a spirit is going to take over. There is a spirit takeover right now. God is raising up a standard against the devil. Now, in my own particular ministry, there are all kinds of miracles happening. And I'm praising God for it, too. Well, what kind of miracles? Are people seeing and hearing? And now, that's wonderful. But there are other miracles that are happening. There is a death happening in Pastor Paul. Hallelujah. Now, I call that a miracle. Say amen. I don't die easy. I don't know about you guys. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of times we don't want to die easy, isn't that right? Oh, but if you just let yourself die, glory, 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 isn't that right? And you just let yourself die. There's a death going on. You're kind of walking around, you know, and you don't know what's going on. You say, God, I don't feel that, I don't feel a spirit anymore. Do you know God hides on you once in a while? And lets you sit all by yourself, with yourself, until you get fed up with yourself? Have you had enough of yourself yet? When God withdraws and then you're in there, your miserable self, You get good and sick of it and you cry out for more of God? God, I want more of you. This is a bum trip. God, help me. People all over are going to be crying now. You mark down what I'm saying here tonight. But I mean, this is the number one reason Jesus came, to do himself in and to have others to do themselves in. Are you hearing it? But they couldn't understand. And you know why they couldn't understand? They were not surrendered. Now, you talk to a person that isn't surrendered to the cause of Christ, they won't understand what you're talking about. If you're going through a very hard time right now, God is going to make you say, I surrender, I say uncle. You want to know why? God is preparing you for a great job. God is going to help you say, I surrender. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender all. And when you surrender all and you put your arms up like that, that's a form of praise. Do you ever wonder why you hold your arms up like this? It's a stick up. God's going to take all your money and all your time, all your energy, everything. Brother, wake up. Lord might come. You don't want to go up in the rapture with your eyes shut. Praise God. Oh, but I surrender all. I surrender all. Do you? Do you? Hey, I want to tell you something. There's a surrendering going on right now. And some people even get rebellious. Some people even run off and backslide. Know why? They're surrendering the hard way, but they're still surrendering. I don't surrender on their own, you know. But while they're saying that, they're surrendering. Every little sin they step into, every little rebellion they stepped into, every little nasty thing that we get into, it's a surrendering. It's a recognizing that we are a sinner and we need the Lord Jesus Christ like we've never needed him before. Say amen, somebody. If you're listening to me on the radio or this tape and you're having one great big blow up in your house, praise God, that's God dealing with a whole household. Hallelujah. Let it go. Oh, you know, but there's consequences to this. Because these unsurrendered people, they're uninvolved people, uninvolved and undying people. There's a lot of people don't want to die. You know what's going to happen to them? They're going to die anyway. They're going to run themselves out. No, you start running away from God, I want to tell you. He's way up here and he's watching you. Here you are, you're trying to run away. You're just like a little ant, see? And you're going to run away from God. He's watching. You can't get away from God. And you can get mad, and you can stamp your feet, and you can say, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm just sick of the whole thing, and you can just keep right on talking, and you know what? God's going to get you. Anytime he wants, you just reach right down and say, I got you. You can't get away from God. If you go to hell, he's there. You go wherever you go, he's there. And so when you see people backsliding, don't worry about it. God's married to them. And he is a jealous God. Woo-hoo. Did you hear what I'm saying? Jealous. Now, I'm not talking about human jealousy. Oh, I just get so mad at that person. Oh, you turn a little green here and there. I'm talking about God getting jealous. Huh? Don't you think he knows how to take care of his mate? Woo! Well, Pastor Paul, we're fighting in our home. God! There's a revealing going on. You're both stinkers. What do you mean, God? That's awful poor counsel. You should try to patch it up. Why try to patch things? Why not make it new? Why not try to make it new? Well, what do you say try for? That's not a good word. No, it's the truth, though, isn't it? You gotta try. That's the key word. People don't want to try. Say amen, somebody. Here it is.
I wish things could be different, praise God.
They're never going to get different.
They'll be better when.
The winners.
They'll get better.
Huh? Say amen, somebody. I'll tell you, in the end time, you're going to see some very strange things happening. You're going to see a separation between the sheep and goats like you've never seen before. There's going to be people on one side and other people on another side, and some of them are going to be out of the same household. Say amen, somebody. That's just the way it's going to be. How many hearing this? Woo-hoo! But there's going to come a death, hallelujah! I'm so glad I'm dying daily. Oh, God, it's painful. It's so painful. It's about time you think you got some kind of moxie, some kind of pizzazz, you get knocked down. Then you feel like nothing. Then you got to get up and preach. When you feel like nothing, you got to get up and preach with nothing. Well, I got plenty of nothing, but nothing's plenty for me, oh, huh? I don't want to have anything saving Christ. And so when I have nothing, I have Christ. That's all I want. But there's consequences of this attitude. The attitude of the unchanged self instincts began to show itself in social consequences and they start to have a clash. Now you get a group of unsurrendered people together and you'll always find the stage set for strife and clash. Is that right? I got surrendered people down here at the church. They're surrendered. Sold out. Did you hear what I said? Sold out. This little sister right here is sold out. Praise the Lord. Now I'm just talking about my team I got down here. Woo! Sold out. Jim is sold out. Wow. Kenny is sold out. Now, I'm not going to mention everybody because I'm just talking about my immediate team here. But I got people that are sold out. Now, what happens if I bring someone in that isn't sold out? Strife. We had that happen, didn't we? Strife. Contention. Troublemaking. Arguing. Bickering. Fighting. And that's all right. You know why? They're going to die. Say amen, somebody. You want to die? This is a glorious place to die, right down here at Disciples Ministry. We will help you. We'll help you die. Praise the Lord. How many hear this? And it's so beautiful. Hallelujah. When you have that surrendered attitude, it takes care of all the clashes. Takes care of all the strife. Do you ever get into a home where they have strife? It's because that they're not surrendered to the will of God. One wants to go this way and the other one wants to go that way. And so they're not pulling together, they're in strife. Huh? You know, it's like stretching a rubber band. It always goes back, doesn't it? See, it's got to come a death. It's got to come a surrender. Because if self is supreme within, it will always try to be supreme without. Someone that's self is supreme on the inner person, it'll show up. Oh, it'll be subtle. It'll be refined. It might even be religious. And then it says, and then the clashes began, and then arose a reasoning among them. Which of them should be the greatest? What kind of reasoning is that? Here is God with them. And they're reasoning among themselves. Oh, I think I'm greater than you are. See that last guy over there? Double ear problem. Is this one over here that was healed in the name of Jesus? Well, and the reasoning arose among them. Who was the greatest? And you know that happens in households. Who is the greatest? Because God is not first. Because Jesus is not first. And where Jesus is not the center and the focal point, there is a murmuring and there is a complaining, and a whole household gets upset. Because they try to reason who's got more points than the next person. Well, and kids do that in a family too, don't they? Kind of like the point system, isn't it? Ooh, getting kind of quiet in here. But each thought he was the greatest. And why? Because they had unconverted instincts. And you know what number one was? Pride. Pride. I know something you don't know. I know nothing. Saving Christ, crucified, buried, and rose again. Totally nothing. When you get up, preacher, and you get up to preach, you better know nothing or the anointing of God will not be on you. You better save yourself a whole lot of trouble. Know nothing. Say amen, somebody. You get up behind a pulpit, you go out to witness. Know nothing. Know Christ. And when you know Christ, God will put those words in your mouth at the right time. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God, help me to die. Die. But pride. What keeps these families and what keeps these churches and what keeps these ministers from coming together? Pride. Pride. Knowing something more than the other fellow. Always wanting to have the last word. I never try to get the last word. You know why? Because God's always going to have the last word anyway. Guy asked me, he says, well, where is the kingdom of heaven? Of course, that's easy because I've had several messages on the kingdom of heaven. And I thought, you know, I said, this is part of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we say it so mechanically, don't we? If the kingdom is a place that can be reached after death, I'll tell you right now, it also can be reached here. The moment I received Jesus Christ, there was a death in me. And I entered in to the kingdom of heaven. I remember I had got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in this church, and we were in there, and I went outside, and even the horns sound different. Even the lights and even the billboards and even the whole sky and everything that I had looked at, you know, in the flesh looked different because I was that deep in the Spirit. You know why that was? I was in on the glory of God. And I was awestruck with it. And I didn't say it because I didn't know Scripture, but I suppose in myself I was saying, let's build three tabernacles. Gee, this is good. Huh? And everything sounded and looked different. I had entered a brand new realm. And I didn't know how to handle it. How many are hearing this? Ooh, and I'll tell you right now, if you'll die daily to yourself, you'll enter brand new realms. And that's not going to be easy, dying to yourself. Because you see, we already thought we had already died as much as we're going to die. We were just the spiritual pinnacles of success, and oh God, we're flying home free now. We have died daily for the last 13 years, and how much dying can a man do? You got a whole lot of dying to do, folks. Say amen, somebody. And God, it says in the end times, is going to do a work in one day. One day. And so if there's a lot of you left, imagine how painful it's going to be. Whoop! Instead of whoop. No, I'm just telling you like it is. There's going to come a death all of a sudden. Now, you know, there's a lot of people got to do some dying. And you all know who you are. I know who I am. Hey. All those days that I didn't die daily are still up there. And if it's 365 times 13, every one of them is going to smack me right between the eyes, because God's going to do a work in one day. Oh, my God. In one day, God is going to do a completed work. There's going to be something happening in the body of Christ like never before, and God is dealing with people right now. Ooh, hallelujah. And they're walking around sort of teary-eyed, and they're walking around sort of sacky-looking, you know, trying to smile and laugh. Now, of course, you folks don't know what I'm talking about, do you? How many know what I'm saying right here tonight is it's gospel. Say amen, somebody. You take a look around at Christians, and they know all the little cliches, and they know all the little spiritual things to say, and they know how to say praise God, and they know how to do all those things, but there's a death that's happening right now, and God is causing a quick work to happen, and we don't like it. Praise the Lord! I mean, everything comes out weird. You know why? Because you're dying. It's hard to talk when you're dying. Say amen, somebody. My God, it's happening, and it's about time it happened. Thank you, Lord, for it. But it's here on earth. You can enjoy the kingdom of God right while you're here, right now. And if we give all our possessions, we gain the treasure. And you know what all your possessions are? Your life. You give your life, that takes care of all your possessions. Well, I done that some time back. No, you didn't. You know, I can tell I haven't given all my life because you're miserable. I've been miserable. Have you been miserable this week at all? I mean, one day out of just one day? Man, I had 7 miserable days. Praise God. But at least I know what's happening. Miserable self is having a miserable death. Say amen, somebody. But I got to share something with you. I'll tell you the truth. I've had the joy of the Lord while I've been miserable. Because I knew what was happening. See, you understand what I'm saying? I know what's happening. And I've learned to trust in Jesus. Lord, I'm miserable. He says, yes, you certainly are. In the Bible, the kingdom of heaven was also likened to leaven, which put into the meal, leavening the whole lump. And you know what that is? That's the kingdom of God. When the kingdom of God comes into you, just a little portion, it leavens the whole lump. Something starts to happen. You start to grow, hallelujah. You start to grow, and as we warm up, as this whole lump starts to warm up, I say as the Holy Spirit fire comes down, that bread is baked for other people to eat. Say amen, somebody. Whoa, preacher, are you hearing me here tonight? There is going to come a great and a terrible awakening, hallelujah, and the glory of the kingdom of God, hallelujah, is going to fill all of our thoughts, hallelujah, and all of a sudden God is going to be talking to us.
So if you're utility...